Psalms 26. And I'm going to have some notes up here, and we're going to see what's going to happen here. I'm feeling really floaty today. I don't know what that means, but let's put a quote up there. I was stunned or stirred by this quote by Leonard Ravenhill this week. Sunday morning attendance shows how popular the church is. Sunday night shows how popular the preacher is. But Wednesday prayer meeting shows how popular God is. Isn't that a quote? Let's just read that again. And that's an exaggeration by a prophetic animal that was Leonard Ravenhill. I don't know if you remember Leonard Ravenhill. He's just a passionate guy and was with Keith Green and wrote a lot of stunning quotes. But I was stirred by this, and especially that last phrase, is that we see the popularity of God, how popular he is, by attendance in prayer meetings. And so again, in this exaggerated prophetic statement, I wanted to take a moment to talk about and to ask you how popular the Lord is in your life and how popular he is in our church life. We're in a season now of a revival of prayer, prayer stirring up. It was awesome to see the citywide prayer, prayer meetings every day down at 6:30 in the morning at Jacob's Well. That's being fun. Shem is kicking up on Shem. Is Shem in the room? He's what? He's sick, everybody. So Shem's got a prayer worship meeting, a team at 6 o'clock at Jacob's Well on Tuesday evenings. Donald and Lydia have a worship and prayer meeting on Wednesday nights at Jacob's Well. There's one cooking for Thursday nights now. And so there's going to be increase of prayer meetings that are happening. We love that and we need more. I just want to ask you, Father, I pray for your leading right now. I ask for your God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing in the church and what you're doing in our nation. And I praise you for producing a desperateness in my heart, in the hearts of my friends, that we want to do nothing except be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I ask in this moment, this is a precious hour, because it's the hour we live in. We're not in the next hour. We're not in the last hour. We're in this hour. And right now, I'm asking that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit. We've prayed all week. We prayed again this morning. We're going to pray in the afternoon. Lord, we're praying for our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I ask that you would touch our hearts. I'm praying that you would you break up hard ground in our hearts? Would you tenderize places that are insensitive to the leading of the Spirit? I pray that you would give us the gracious joy of what it's like to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for lives of habitually being okay with living without your Spirit. I pray for a desperate family here that would not proceed anywhere in anything without the leading of your Spirit. Lord, I pray you forgive us for years of good ideas and good works and good actions that did not produce the fruit you desired. I pray that your people would love your presence. Pray for your presence in the room right now. I thank you that you seal each believer and you're here. I thank you that you're omnipresent, but I ask now for your manifest presence in the room. I pray pray for your power and your grace, your stirring to work inside us and outside us. Pray that your presence wouldn't stay locked up in the holy of holies of our spirit, man. I pray that you would break out and begin to transform us and change us. Would you all turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16? John chapter 16. In looking at verse 7, I don't have this. Dina's very fast. We'll see what she does. I'm punting where we were and making a move. My heart is, I want to describe to you, I'm just so thankful that God transforms our hearts. And as I began to do what I did in Wichita right then, I felt no wind, no push, no presence. I don't know how to describe it to you. I felt no a partnership with the Holy Spirit in what I had prepared to share, and I did share over there. And so because of that, I can't proceed with that. Does that make sense? I don't know how to describe it to you, and I know it's messy, but I feel a desperateness for fruit, for impact, for blessing. And I know I have less confidence in myself than ever to produce that. And so I'm going to try to follow the Holy Spirit here in our short moment together. In John 16, 7, Jesus says to the apostles who are getting the message that he's going to leave, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, if I go, I'll send him to you." And so Jesus answered, and he goes on and speaks about what the Holy Spirit's going to do and convicting the world and convicting the church and bringing judgment upon the enemy. But he says again to them, it's to your advantage, it's to your good that I go away. And again, how could that be? God in flesh, the glory, the wonderful one, the one that's bringing the kingdom of God. How could it be that it's for their good that he go away? Well, only for one reason, that he might send the Helper, that the Helper might come to them and that he might send him. If you'll go to Acts chapter 2 with me, I just want to look at a couple of these verses and then proclaim something. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is explaining why the people aren't drunk, that the Spirit fell on, and they're all speaking different languages. And he preaches the first sermon at the birth of the church. And it picks up in around verse 30, chapter 2. Peter's preaching about how Jesus had been crucified and the rulers of the world had crucified him. And then it says in verse 30, "Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne," talking about David, by the way, sorry, "he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ and that he was not going to be abandoned to Hades nor his flesh see corruption." So David had prophesied this in Psalm 16. "This Jesus God raised up, and of what we are all witness, and we are all witnesses of this. Being therefore," verse 33, "exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he's poured out that which you yourselves now see and hear." The result of this then was verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'What must we do actually to be like you?'" And then he says, "Repent, receive the gift of the Spirit," and 3,000 of them are baptized. I love verse 33, and I've said this a long time, that I can't wait. I hope we get some kind of kingdom video on this deal. But being exalted, Jesus rose on the Mount of Olives, exalted in the heavenly realms, and he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. Now, this is Jesus who had had the dove come on him, and he had moved in the Spirit all of his ministry. But he received the Spirit in a brand new way in the heavenly realms, in a resurrected body from the throne of God. the throne of God that's thundering with lightning and power, and no fleshly man could stand there and be alive. But there's Jesus in resurrected flesh, and he receives the Holy Spirit from the Father, and there's power and glory, and then he pours it out. He moves it out of the heavenly realms and pours it out into those that are having faith and are there on the day of Pentecost. And that releases what is the book of Acts, which is misnamed sometimes the Acts of the Apostles. It kind of is, but it's mostly the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of whom it is of our advantage that Jesus go away and pour out, came and filled weak men who often were cowards and were arguing about who was first, fills them with glory, and they go forth and begin to bring the kingdom rule of God. And it was all because the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and the birthright of the church. The blood of Jesus cleans us up, but the Holy Spirit is the great gift in the life of God. What were Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden for? You know, what was the great penalty of it? It was that they could not access the tree of life anymore. And so they birthed dead men and dead women through the generations. But Jesus has come, and through the cross, through the resurrection, has made a way that you and I can be cleansed, and then we can be made new, and then we can receive the great reward, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I'm discipling international guys and local guys of all ages and of all lengths of times in the scriptures, I'm constantly amazed primarily by one thing, and that is the illiteracy of the presence of the Holy Spirit within their life. Their lack of knowing his presence, his leading, his initiations, his leading in their devotional life, his leading in their marriage, his presence in all the way. I'm always amazed. They're great, great guys. They love the Lord Jesus. They've been impacted by the gospel, but, you know, discipleship, they haven't been fathered in how to interact with the living Holy Spirit. This is of my primary concern, because I believe that there's only one needed key for outbreak of revival and breaking curses off nations and off individuals, and that is the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. We've come up with 1,000 other ways to get people into buildings and to do ministry, and clearly Jesus said there's one way. I want you to wait until you're clothed with power from on high. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I guess I'm asking you today, where are you in your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? Where are you in your personal experience with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you up in your understanding mostly and trying to follow God and read your Bible and do mission? I mean, it's sincere, but I bet you anything that's not bearing fruit. Jesus didn't plan for you to walk that way. He planned for you to walk with being a habitation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would lead you, and he would determine where you read your Bible. He would be the teacher of you of the Bible, that he would determine how you would do mission and where you would go, and it would all be by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say this. I'm not saying that I don't think there's doldrums on planet Earth. There's boredom sometimes with what we deal with in the faith, but I believe there will be a lot less of that if we all would have a vibrant, living relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm at the point of the greatest desperation I've ever been for there to be impact, fruitful impact through the ministry that I'm doing in cities. And I am knowing that we're not lacking better preaching. We're not lacking better buildings. We're not lacking more moral sermons that make us feel good and give us great goals to try to live by. We're missing the vibrant, touchable, experiential presence of the Holy Spirit. I've never seen a human being ever transformed except that the power of the Spirit touched them, that they had revelation about Jesus and it touched their heart. I've never seen anybody get free from sin except that the Holy Spirit literally did it. I've seen some people grit their teeth and work hard at it for, you know, a couple weeks, months, or whatever. But most of the time, those people end up grouchy, cranky, judging people if they're successful, or in shame if they're unsuccessful. The only transformation that's ever happened that I've seen that lasts is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on somebody. I love it that Ryan Vandenberg invested in Chris McGathy. Chris McGathy goes from, I'm kind of interested fireman, to I quit my fireman job. I'm going on mission like a crazy man. And that mainly happened because the Holy Spirit interacted with his heart and his life. At best, Ryan, who discipled him, was a midwife for a living experience in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what we need. The Spirit of God we desperately need. As I stood here and wept last Sunday for the breaking generations, for the molestation that's happening in our city, over the young ones, over the lostness eternally, over 8,000 to 10,000 people in this one city alone, and I felt the travail of the Spirit on me. I know it was the Spirit who gave me that heart. And as I came out of it, I was like, oh my gosh, we're so in trouble. If we think our ministerial alliance meetings and our new plans and our cute titled sermon series are going to change human beings, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need a fresh Pentecost and fresh power. There's only one agent that will shift this nation, and it's the church. And the church doesn't need a better book and a better idea. She needs more of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we sat there Wednesday, and I heard people groaning and praying from different denominations, I was like, maybe. Then the Baptist guys said, we want to come. I'm like, I'm finally getting hope. I'm starting to get a little bit of hope. I'll meet Thursday night with prayer leaders in Wichita. In Great Harvest Bread, Charismatics and Presbyterians and Baptists, we're going to get in there and we're going to talk about how to unify prayer, because I know that the only way that the presence of the Spirit really comes in power is when a people give themselves to prayer, when a people really bow down and simply ask, come Holy Spirit. This is not complicated. That we've made it complicated means we want to do everything except what he told us to do. What he told us to do was to ask for the presence and the power of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and to go out in that Spirit and to minister. It's that simple. So as I'm here this morning, and I'm close to done, I want us to evaluate where we are in our conviction about the sufficiency of the Spirit to accomplish our personal holiness, our personal breakthrough, and above all else, our personal mission assigned from the Lord. Where are you in your level of conviction about that? Because I've said before, to me, the most shocking thing I find in discipleship or in groups of people is the lack of shock when they're living unspirit-filled lives. When the Spirit is not vibrantly working in us and we're okay with that. That's the shocking thing. The shocking thing isn't the immorality. The shocking thing isn't the dying of ministries or that. That's the fruit of the thing that's shocking. The shocking thing is that we decide some point that we're going to lean on our own understanding and not desperately call out for the help and the presence of the Spirit of God. So I, again, am asking you where you are today in your heart desiring the presence of God. Can we put the quote back up again from Leonard Ravenhill? When we say popular, I don't mean you're just kind of fascinated with his presence. I mean you desperately need him, want interaction with him. The only problem with getting people to prayer meetings, right? Yeah, it might be a lack of conviction about prayer, but it's a lack of a deep conviction that prayer is the only way, humility, to coming and getting the Holy Spirit. And we could do a lot of tricks to try to motivate you, but I'm just asking you this morning, honest before God, where is your hunger for the Holy Spirit? What level is your thirst for the Spirit right now? What's your level of conviction that it's only the Holy Spirit that's going to change the body of Christ and going to change your neighbors? What's your level of conviction about that this morning? I want to invite us to a few moments of honesty about that, and for us to respond in our hearts. Holy Spirit comes, things begin to take care of themselves. salvations and healings and breakout. When he leads meetings and leads lives, wonderful things happen. We're trying to go figure out how to get those wonderful things to happen without humbling ourselves and getting his presence. You're having problem with addictions to sin. I know how you get out of them. I know it. I got a trick. It's not by you trying harder not to, because that's probably going to make you do it more. I know how you get out of your addiction to sin. It's Galatians 5:16. He who is walks by the Spirit does not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's it. When you are walking by the Spirit and the Spirit's transforming you, all of a sudden what used to grab your heart doesn't grab your heart. So you need the Holy Spirit. If you're longing to see evangelism and boldness happen, I know how to do that. You get filled with the Spirit, and then it's really all answered in that one thing. And so, just a moment of theology, and then we'll move on. The Bible says that when we believe, Ephesians 1:13, we're sealed with the Spirit. Sealing of the Spirit means the presence of the Spirit joins in your inner man, in your spirit man, and he's there in the holy holies of who you are. That's awesome. But that same letter, Ephesians 1:13, we'll go to Ephesians 5:19, and it'll say, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a call for our whole being to be filled with the Spirit. That should be a discipline that is regular in our lives, that we're dependent upon him, that we're allowing him to lead through us and to fill us and to transform us. So let me start with this. When is the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? I want you to think in your mind when that was. Everybody with me? Real quick. When was the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? I know you were sealed with the Holy Spirit when you were born again. That doesn't come and go. Never. What comes and goes is filling. So I'm asking you, when the last time was that you were genuinely filled with the Holy Spirit and his life and his presence reigned in you? You got a date? You got a time? Would one of your answers be, I can't remember? I'm not here to be down on you. I'm here to shepherd you. I want to lead you to green pastures. I want to lead you to living waters. I want to lead you away from every excuse that would keep you away from being centered in on what you truly need. So right now, I'm walking out of here. We can stop recording. It's a small Sunday, so we can have a small group, right? Half of everybody's gone. Somebody share with me a thought that came to your mind when I asked you, when's the last time you were... go ahead and have a seat. You go ahead and have a seat for a moment. Yeah. I just want to kind of keep hearing the phrase. I kept hearing it over there. I've been hearing it here. I keep hearing this phrase, no longer by the motivation of Sam, but only by the motivation of the Spirit. And I know that. That's something the Lord says to me a lot, but I feel some jealousy of the Lord about it. I don't know how to really walk all that out because I'm a motivator guy. I'm a drama king, queen, whatever I am. And I like to and do. And I think I got to figure out how to walk that out and be what I am, motivating people, but not get in the way of the Holy Spirit because I have. I have usurped the place of the Holy Spirit in our family. And I want to be, you know, an encouragement to you without taking the place of the Spirit in your life. And so I keep hearing the phrase, no more by the motivation of Sam, but by the motivation of the Holy Spirit. And so I confess to you as a family, I don't know if we're recording this, but I want the other people to hear it, and I'll probably write about it. I confess that I, with good intention, have tried to take the place of what only the Spirit could do in your lives. And I don't want to do that. I'm more desperate than ever for revival in our city, not as this thing that makes our church grow. I mean the thing that transforms society. I'm more passionate than ever for unity with pastors, and I can't do it. I've tried to broker it with services and vision and ideas. I can't do it. What I can do is pray with them, and the Holy Spirit can do what I couldn't do. So, I don't know what this looks like. I just want to make a personal confession to you as a shepherd and a pastor guy that I'm setting my goal daily to praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of you, praying you'd be filled with the Spirit, praying that the Lord would lead our spiritual family by the Spirit, and we would have a revival that is initiated by the Holy Spirit among us. And I make a motion, and let's have a business meeting. I make a motion that we be a people that would not rest until we get the fullness and the presence and the power of the Spirit among us. Would anyone want to second that? Would we agree together? If you agree, say aye. There's our business meeting. We need a transaction from heaven. I'm telling you, God wants to give the Spirit more than we want Him. Would you agree? Of course He does. He's just looking for people that will surrender, repent, and humbly pray and trust. But He's looking for a partnership that's deliberate, that's serious. Really, He says, I want you to make a response. I won't do that for you. I want you to say yes to me. And this is true for every one of your lives individually and for us as a spiritual family. He won't do for us what He's told us to do. He needs us to fully say yes. So say yes individually, and then would you do something as we close this service? I'm asking you, and we're not big altar people. I think the altar's anywhere, but would you, as a statement of faith, and as a prophetic sign, as just a statement, would y'all all come with me down to the altar, and let's make a resolved commitment to ask for the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Would you consider, oh my gosh, what to say I'm doing? Listen, I mean, how can I make this any more weird and awkward, right? I don't want to try to motivate you. Last week, I'm weeping, and people are coming down. It was so sweet. Lisa Beals down there praying, and there's the Brickley. And people are out here weeping, and we prayed. But we don't always have to have a big moment. We can just make a decision. And what I'm wanting to do is I wonder if, as New Life, could we make a decision and come forward to an altar that we set, and we say, we're deliberate about this thing. Help us to not get distracted. We want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Would you do that with me? Would you? Would you? Would you? Would you? Come on, let's go. Bring babies. Bring kids. Bring children. Bring sound people. I don't need anybody on sound. I don't need anybody on a computer. I don't need a camera guy. Everybody that would come. You're like, Sam, I thought you said you weren't going to motivate us and manipulate us. Well, this is my last time, okay? After this time, it's over. But if you want to come and sit on the altar, just stand up here. I just really wanted us to make a statement of faith as a family. This is a pretty neat visual. Come on, we got room in here. Come on in here. Can you guys come on in here in the middle here? I would say this. I'm trying to make it light. But if this really happens, what Sean Humig said, what happened to me is going to happen to us. I mean, it's going to be glorious when the Spirit of God, as He moves, but it's going to break our hearts. Because all of a sudden, we're going to love what He loves. We're not going to be able to look at sinners and broken people the same way. We're going to really care. And that's awesome. But there's a cost. There's always a cost to discipleship. Amen? So just here we are. Oh, I love being so close to you guys. It's good. Let's pray. Father, I thank You in Jesus' name for giving us wisdom in this day. Simplistic, clear wisdom. Jesus, we hear Your words of what You said to the disciples. Wait, it's to Your advantage I go, so I can send Him. You said, wait to be clothed with power. They wanted to know dates of Your return. You said, it's not for you to know that, but you'll receive power from the Spirit to be my witnesses, and I'll baptize you with the Spirit. So Lord, here we are all as a family. We're making a faith statement together. Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Refresh and fill us with the Holy Spirit. I pray that You keep us from distractions, both in getting into other things or getting into hyper-spirituality or some. Lord, I pray we could stay focused on Jesus and You would fill us with the Holy Spirit. I pray for myself, parts in me, and parts in my brothers and sisters that don't yet really yearn for this. I pray that You change that. Change our hearts to where we're hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. We admit we've let that fall in us. Our hearts are swayed by other things, but thank You for Your mercy. Come and change us for Your glory's sake. And God, see us now here, little New Life, right here in the center of town. God, see a people that are asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. the movement of the Holy Spirit, the fresh baptism, a fresh Pentecost, as you determine. Lord, I pray you give us focus in our prayer meetings, focus in our fellowship with each other. May we be provoking one another to more surrender and more sensitivity to being led by the Holy Spirit. Free us from immorality and free us from religion that keep us from a life in the Spirit. Both of them. From subtracting from your word and adding to your word. From the knowledge of evil and the knowledge of good. And let us be a people filled with life. Holy Spirit, lead us. Thank you for all you've done. We're so thankful. And what we say is we want more as a family. We covenant together. Come and fill us. Release your fire and change this community through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Does anybody have an encouragement or rebuke that they want to say right here while we're here? God bless you. Welcome to New Life. Pray.